A couple of weeks ago, on July 23rd, at least 10 federal police officers came into my home. They detained me and searched every nook and cranny of the place, which took at least 5 hours. Unfortunately, I don't have any footage of this happening. Police wouldn't allow me to use my cameras to film any of it. I've got a copy of the search warrant though, and we'll go through that in a minute. But when they handed me the search warrant and I saw the reason for it, why they were searching me, I honestly had to hold back laughter. Now, first of all, I am openly critical of government policy, specifically multiculturalism and mass immigration. I think these things are obviously bad for our country. But considering the government represents the literal opposite standpoint and tries to force unlimited immigration, I've always understood that it's possible, even likely, that I could be searched or harassed for my public commentary. I've had hate speech charges before. I've had bank accounts mysteriously vanish. Then when I called the bank to ask them what's going on, they told me they couldn't provide services to me anymore for commercial reasons and refused to elaborate on what that even means. And I'm still banned from most social media too. That's been going on since 2017, I think. But I didn't expect that federal police from across the other side of the country, they were from Western Australia, and counter-terrorism units would be the ones to search my house. Now, you might notice something odd about the search warrant they gave me. This is a section of the front page here. Typically, when police want to search your house, they should have some sort of evidence to suggest you've been involved in a crime. But more importantly, they should have a search warrant signed by a magistrate. But where I should be able to see the magistrate's signature, there's just this black rectangle. Apparently, they do this to ensure the safety of the magistrate signing off on the warrant. Looking at that, I thought, wait, what? How do I even know this has been signed? What's the point in the magistrate signing the warrant if they just black out the signature anyway? And why would the magistrate feel unsafe? I've never threatened a judge before. I've never assaulted a police officer. There's no reason to believe I would be a threat to a judge in another state. But this is the reason for why I was searched. This is not a joke. They claimed I did a Nazi salute in a public place while visiting a friend in Western Australia about a month prior to the search. All these federal police officers and members of the counter-terrorism department were searching my house because someone claimed that I extended my arm out in front of myself in a manner which constitutes a federal crime. In addition to the search, there was also a forensics team going through all my electronics, extracting and analyzing data. And it says here in the warrant that police have the right to add, copy, delete, or alter data in the computer or device found in the course of the search, which is really concerning. But after more than 5 hours of going through literally everything I had, they left, took my phone with them, but didn't charge me with anything. Now, they never produced any evidence that I did a Nazi salute. They didn't confirm whether there was any witnesses. So I spent some time thinking about this afterwards, and the question that kept occurring to me was, how can so much resource be allocated for something so minor? Especially when they don't seem to have any evidence to suggest it even happened in the first place. I mean, if they were looking for kilograms of cocaine, I could understand the use of those resources, but a Roman salute? All these federal coppers were flown over to Victoria from Western Australia to carry out this search. This was no small operation. This is high-tier policing. And anyone who knows me knows that I wouldn't do a Roman salute, certainly not in public. It's just not my style. So I'm not really sure what the real purpose of this whole operation was, but I decided to do some private research to discover how this was possible. How is this much resource being allocated for these kinds of crimes, especially when there's no evidence to suggest they've even happened? And I found some stuff that might help explain what's going on. It's worse than you think.
Now, you might have heard about a series of strange anti-Semitic crimes occurring across Australia recently. I think mostly in Melbourne and Sydney. Three new laws have been passed in response to these bizarre incidents, and I'll explain why they're bizarre in a second. But the government has also set up a new task force to combat anti-Semitism.
Today I can also announce that we have established AFP Special Operation Avalite for anti-Semitism. This will be a Commonwealth-led task force that will work with state and territory police forces. This is in response to the attack last Friday morning that is now the third arson attack after the attack on Josh Byrne's electorate office and the Sydney Woollahra car incident.
It's important to understand that these anti-Semitic crimes, including graffiti, fire attacks on synagogues, and a strangely placed caravan full of explosives, these have all been investigated and declared a hoax by federal police and also by Australian Security Intelligence Organisation, or ASIO. Not only were these crimes staged by criminals in exchange for money, Investigators have declared that foreign actors or agents from overseas had been paying local criminals to stage these attacks, specifically targeting synagogues and elements of the Jewish community.
Returning now to our top story, and federal police are investigating if anti-Semitic attacks in Australia are being funded by overseas actors.
It would appear, as the AFP commissioner said yesterday, that some of these are being perpetrated by people who don't have a particular issue, aren't motivated by an ideology, but are paid actors.
We believe criminals for hire may be behind some incidents. So part of our inquiries include who is paying those criminals, where those people are, whether they are in Australia or offshore.
So how could the government pass new laws and set up a new task force to combat anti-Semitism when all the anti-Semitism appears to be staged and even looks like foreign interference? Well, before these incidents were properly investigated, political staffers from New South Wales Premier Chris Minns' office rushed to declare some of these incidents a terror attack, specifically the caravan full of explosives.
There's only one way of calling it out, and that is terrorism.
And before police had said anything about it, the Premier's office had already passed three new laws. The first one further criminalises hate speech. The second one bans protest anywhere near religious institutions. And it says the third one further increases penalties for displaying Nazi symbols or gestures. So basically, a hoax, which is staged criminal activity funded by a foreign country, and they're not telling us which country. This was used to screw with Australian law, significantly limiting our basic freedoms, and to start a hunt, a nationwide hunt, for anti-Semites. After that, political staffers at the Premier's office, the ones responsible for drawing up and passing those three new laws, they were summoned to what's called a Parliamentary Upper House Committee. The committee was set up to question them, to discover whether they'd broken any laws or were even part of a conspiracy to exploit circumstances to mess with Australian law. And these staffers from the Premier's office, those responsible for changing the laws off the back of a hoax, they literally just didn't show up to the inquiry. But it turns out not showing up to these things is a serious crime, and they could be arrested. So for fear of jail, they did show up, and this is some of what happened.
They usually work behind the scenes, but today the Premier's most senior staffers found themselves under the bright lights.
We are staffers where our jobs are to support the politicians, not to be the face of things. And receiving something like this, it's nerve-wracking, it's daunting.
It didn't take long for the fireworks to begin.
How has been a lot said about this in the last few weeks. You support as an employer.
Look, I think.
Look, you can fight with the question, you can answer it. What would you like to do?
The advisers were summoned to appear last week, but failed to do so. A law as old as Federation, but never used, provides that no-shows can be arrested. The inquiry is investigating how the discovery of an explosive-filled caravan at Dural in January related to the passage of three bills in February. The reforms criminalised racial hate speech, banned protest near religious places, and strengthened penalties for displaying Nazi symbols.
Work on some of it began, I think, in December last year. The Dural incident wasn't put forward as a reason to support those three pieces of legislation.
He says he learnt police had ruled out terrorism in late February, but it's unclear whether he was told before the hate speech bill passed on the 21st. A government halfway into its term under increasing scrutiny.
One of the staffers actually just openly admitted that she didn't show up to the first inquiry because she's just a background worker and did not want to be seen publicly. Certainly, she was not prepared to be held to account for anything she'd done. She then played victim by suggesting having to answer to this committee was nerve-wracking. It makes you realise how parliamentary politics actually works, doesn't it? You have a series of sock puppet speakers who get on the cameras, but the real wire pullers, they expect to operate in the shadows with impunity. The main spokesperson for the staffers ended up being this guy, Mr. James Cullen. Cullen said the laws they passed had been drawn up months before the caravan hoax and denied that the caravan hoax was the catalyst for having those laws passed. It was just a coincidence, he reckons. It was also a coincidence that the state premier rushed to declare the caravan hoax a terror attack. That was just a mistake. This was all just a big coincidence. I'm not sure what will come of this inquiry. It's my view that these staffers obviously exploited a foreign-sponsored hoax to remove more of our political freedoms and speech rights. They've obviously acted in bad faith, and the laws they passed should be repealed immediately. But I'm not sure if any of the members of this upper house committee have the guts to make that determination. Now for the task force to combat anti-Semitism. This is actually quite serious, because these people are hunting Australian citizens who are even suspected of doing or saying anything which might be anti-Semitic. This task force was only just set up, and they began their nationwide hunt on the 1st of July this year. It involves all police and security intelligence officers, including ASIO. Federal police, state police, counter-terror police. There's not a lot of information here, but there's enough to get a general idea of what they're trying to do with this task force. The main point of this document is to justify the allocation of funds, the amount of money this task force is going to cost the Australian taxpayer. It's estimated to cost $28.3 million, and that's just in the first year. It's set up to run for 4 years. So Australian workers are going to be forking out $30 million a year for the next 4 years. It's probably going to blow out to like $50 or $60 million a year by the way this document is worded, because it states here that the $28.3 million a year is literally just a figure they pulled out of their asses. They're probably going to spend even more than that. That's what this part here basically means. It's very expensive, basically. In what they call key assumptions, meaning what they say they're going to be doing, but whatever they actually do may change, it says this anti-Semitic task force will be using the same amount of resources currently used by Countering Foreign Interference Task Force. Let that sink in for a moment. The government is currently using the same amount of police, financial, and intelligence resources to prevent Jewish people from feeling offended as they are on countering foreign interference. And that's it. That's all they actually wrote. It's just three pages saying this is how much money we're taking to pay high-end cops and intelligence agents to hunt down anti-Semites across the country. I think the reason they film arrests like this is to try to justify the amount of money and resources they're using. But so far, every time they actually have a real lead, like when they learn something or arrest someone, the real culprits giving the direction and funding to the criminals committing those acts end up being from another country. But the police won't name that country. Why not? Since all the more serious anti-Semitic crime Australia has seen recently seems to tie back into foreign interference, wouldn't it make sense to abandon the anti-Semitic task force and just allocate more funds to countering foreign interference? I mean, all of these anti-Semitic crimes, the more serious ones, are being staged and set up by foreign actors. They keep admitting that. So the way this begins is pretty much how you're seeing it play out now. This task force to combat anti-Semitism will be investigating arson attacks, graffiti. They'll be arresting people connected to crimes like that. But the way it ends is with social media posts and even private conversations you're having. If you say or post anything which could even be construed as possibly anti-Semitic, you'll be raided and arrested by this task force. You'll have these guys in your house with God knows what sort of charges or accusations to deal with. That's what this task force to combat anti-Semitism is, in my opinion. It's a precursor to full authoritarian speech control. And you might think, well, I just won't say anything anti-Semitic. Simple, right? But it's not that simple, because what qualifies as anti-Semitic is based on their interpretation. I don't want to freak anyone out, but this is happening and it's only going to get worse. Australians deserve freedom of expression. We shouldn't have our speech and even our thoughts controlled, certainly not as a result of a foreign-sponsored hoax. It's probably not in my interests to be putting this information out there, especially with my name and face, but this is the truth and people need to know it. This is what's happening in our country and it's going to get worse. So the more you know, the more you can be prepared for what's coming.